gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostrae, Amen. Sede sapientiae. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. First of all, a happy Easter. See, our lady got a new coat of paint too for Easter. Nice and bright blue. Apologies for being away for, how long is it?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, is it? Now, to refresh our memories also, I believe we were reflecting on the Real Presence. And I think we were looking upon the subject of the Real Presence as source of grace. Daniel, do you remember where we were? Please.
How we receive our hope in the Real Presence.
Hope. Increase our hope, eh? Okay. Begin on talking about what is divine hope. We began that, I believe, did we?
Yes.
And suppose we work on that and then see how far we get. If I start repeating myself, let me know. First, to make sure we know where we are. We've been talking about the Real Presence first historically, then doctrinally. Then we emphasize the fact that Christ is present on earth in order that we might adore Him, both by our submission of will and by our expression of love. But then we shifted gears. And this, I would say, is the single most important development of Eucharistic theology in our age. In other words, we correctly speak of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And surely, our Lord is here as God and man, then therefore He should be adored. Don't hesitate to come as closely as you can, please. However, what the present Pope especially wants to bring out, and I would say the single main purpose for the International Eucharistic Congress in Seville this coming June, is that Christ is here not only to be adored, not only to be honored or loved. Christ is on earth really present in the fullness of His divinity and humanity to give us grace. And therefore, Christ is here to answer our prayers. And among the prayers that we need, desperately need to have answered, is prayers asking for miracles. as you read the Gospels and you see how in one evangelist after the other, once they found out that Christ can work miracles, there was no limit. You name the disability, you name the problem, deaf, blind, paralyzed, the dying, and even the dead. Now Christ had to work first a few, might say, lower level miracles of healing people. And once he brought people back from the dead, what would not people ask him to do? And we couldn't be talking on this subject on a better day than Easter Monday. In other words, that when we're speaking of Christ being present on earth, objectively, the main purpose that Christ is on earth is to be adored and loved. However, the Eucharist has presence, is a sacrament, and a sacrament by definition gives grace. Well, when you have not merely one or the other six sacraments, when you have Christ himself, who is the author of the sacraments, who is the author of all the grace, then there is nothing, and the word is nothing, that we need, but the crucial verb is need, that he won't give us. Nothing that we need that he won't give us, provided we approach him in faith here in the Blessed Sacrament. But I repeat, the key word is need, and not what? Want. Over my 40 years in the priesthood, how many people have told me, I've been praying for so long, and I still haven't got what I've been praying for. So he asked, what are you praying for? Well, whatever the favor is. Sickness, problem, loss of money, loss of the job, family problems. Why are not my prayers being answered? Well, one of two reasons. Either you're not praying fervently and faithfully enough, with enough trust in God, or more likely, what you're praying for is not what you need. The theological definition for what we need is what God wants. That's it. Sister, do we always want what God wants? Do we sometimes want what God does not want? Do you always want what we need? Do you always need what we want? I could think of four worse contradictions, and they're all contradictions between need and want. What we want, well, what we want is what our desires incline us to. Well, what else? Want. What are desires for except for what you want? Consequently, and it is this aspect of the real presence that we're going to concentrate on from now on, namely, the Eucharist has real presence, has a sacrament that provides us, gives us infallibly what we need. Now, and this is where we are now. there is such a thing as not knowing what we need. So, can we ask God, can we want and pray for what we need? Oh yes, that's all right. So that our minds will be enlightened. We're talking here about divine hope. And did we speak about hope as a profession? About hope when we pray? Did we talk about hope? Did we explain hope? Sister?
It was on the third part. You said, how do we receive our hope in the real thing?
Please?
You began, how do we receive our hope in the real presence? That was part three. Then you ended up with the...
Yeah, first let me see what titles I've got here. Now this is the manuscript for publication. What is divine hope? Next question. When must we profess our hope? Then, when should we profess our hope? Then, professing our hope in the real presence. Is that where we were?
I have, how do we receive our hope in the real presence?
Well. St. Paul, yeah. Please.
You begin. How? What is divine hope? How do we profess our hope?
Yes, Father. That is.
Are we okay?
Yes,
Father. There is much more here than we could possibly cover in our classes.
Yes, you
do. Let's then concentrate on professing our hope in the real presence. St. Paul tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith then is the foundation of our hope that God's promises will indeed be fulfilled. As we had faith, we could not have hope. There's only as much hope as there is faith. And as I'm sure we've said this before, Michigan is the one state in the United States that is a testing ground for killing people who either are not wanted or who don't want to live themselves. And Dr. Kevorkian is famous. By the way, someone gave me, I might bring it the next time, if Daniel, if you'd remind me. This is Kevorkian's official report on killing a man, describing exactly. Somebody got from the hospital where he performed the murder, exactly how he did it.
Father, a woman found that in his garbage. He had thrown that away, and a woman I know found that in his garbage.
So somebody must have given it to me.
No, he threw it away, and someone looked through his garbage and found that report.
Well, I've got the report.
No.
I have the report. I'll read it and bring it next week. And that's why we're here. That's why I was all last week in last week, Daniel, where was I?
you were giving Holy Week.
In Northville. Sisters,
Providence.
Sisters, daughters of the same area of Providence. They take care of retarded children. And a perfect setup. They specialize in retarded children. But now, and I'm told, when a woman conceives, now there may be doctors that make an exception, but by law, they are now required to have, well, photos taken of the unborn child, required. And then, if the child shows some abnormality, pressure is put on them to abort the child. to refuse, they're put under a lot of pressure. And this is what is in the works for our country. Once, in other words, and I've seen, I didn't bring them. No, I think I have some. Child, I think now is 3 months old, pictures of the baby in the mother's room. And the plans are for legally declaring that the woman must abort if the doctor decides the child will somehow be physically or emotionally handicapped. Must kill the child. But behind that, and this I can if I shouted from the top of a mountain, there was only one answer, one solution to saving not just our country, but the Western world, and that is faith. It has to be the Christian faith. Without faith, there's no hope. And there's only as much hope as there is faith. There are two kinds of doctors in the world. Those who believe in the life of death, life after death, and those who don't. Those who believe in life after death, they are still healers. Those who don't believe in life after death, they are killers. The medical profession now is MD, Doctor of Murder. Do you hear me? I'm being taped. And it's faith in God, and then we talk about hope, that it is a life after this life. Our hope is only as strong, therefore, as our faith. Our hope is only as confident as our faith is sound. Our hope is only as courageous as our faith in God and His goodness is unshakable. Those who believe in God hope to obtain from Him what He promised. Believing people are hopeful people. Unbelieving people are hopeless people. My record at Western Michigan, a couple of hours distance from here where I taught for 5 years, was 3 suicides among my students in 2 weeks. This never gets into the papers. The single principal manner of college people dying is suicide in the United States. And you never hear this. Maybe. In time we will. Michigan State University has suicides. University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, has suicides. Where I taught, I mentioned suicides. And that was 20 years ago. The Lord knows how many they have now. One of my students, I was keeping her alive as long as I was at the university. I left, having to be mid-year. There was a terrific pressure under which I was. Superior then told me, 4.5 years teaching at the university. Because by the third semester, I think I told you this, didn't I? By the third semester, 2,000 students attending the courses in the department that I was teaching, philosophy and religion department. 7 full-time professors. By the third semester, I had 1/2 the students. The other professors had empty classrooms. For my classes, they had to provide a large hall. The surest way of being hated is by succeeding. Works like magic. But 2 weeks after I left the university, I got a call from the Newman Club, they call it Newman Club Chaplain, at the university, Father Taylor by name, and called me up and he says, Barbara has just been found in her room, dead 4 days. To an overdose of pills, then cut a plastic bag, tied it around her neck, and, well, she died. I'm sure Barbara would be alive today. I could have, say, stayed with her and, well, strengthened her faith. And the reason was her parents. One day, when whatever she did, she misbehaved. Some mother told Barbara, at the age of 5, Barbara, your father and I didn't want you in the first place. Her first attempt at suicide was at the age of 6. We want to be wanted. And we need to be wanted. But then, what a difference between needing to be wanted by human beings and being wanted by God. And one of the great graces in life is to be rejected by human beings. It's a great grace. You know that, sisters? Great grace. Because then, all you have to do is keep your sanity. That's all. Keep sane and keep your faith. Then life takes on a brand new meaning. We go on. What does faith tell us about the real presence? It tells us that God so loved the world that he became man and died on the cross to redeem us by his blood. However, our faith also tells us that on the night before he died, that same God who became man chose to change bread and wine into his own living self, the incarnate God. We believe that God became man not only to die for us, but to be with us. And nobody else a Catholic except someone who believes that. The Vatican, for which I work, tells me they've never, as far as they know, in the history of the Church, have had more requests for annulment of ordination than now. And the kind of training so many of these men are getting in seminaries is no wonder. No wonder. They don't know what a priest is. The main purpose of the priesthood is to keep Christ on earth. That's the main purpose. In other words, Christ is on earth to be near us, next to us, and we receive him in Holy Communion within us. But what a difference. What a difference between that being a pious cliche and believing it. Well, not to hope in this God, whom faith tells us has loved us so much, would be madness. And that's the madness of only God knows how many, but I think millions in our country. And we're entering the catacomb stage. Do you know that? The catacomb age of the Church. You know the catacombs? 65 miles of underground hiding places for the Christians in the first 300 years of the Church's history. Could I ever bring that article that I promised? Did I promise that article on the papist priest? Was it you or somebody else that I promised it to?
You gave it to us, Father.
I did promise it.
You gave it to us.
And I brought it? Was it both or just one? Just which one? The first or the second? Second. Not the first. Would you keep reminding me? We'll find the article, make a copy, distribute it. The papers priests. There are papers bishops. There are papers religious. Papist lay people. Who are they? Those who have been following Henry VIII when he discarded his wife, Catherine, and then formed a church of his own. That's Henry VIII. Then those who remained Catholic, faithful to the Pope, were nicknamed by the opposition papists. And the Society of Jesus has some 30 papist martyrs in England. England alone. One thing that draw me to the Society of Jesus were the large number of martyrs we have. I'm still waiting. I've been praying every day, Lord. Well, now he tells me, be satisfied with what you've got. You're supposed to be living a martyr's life. I know. I like to die a martyr's death. Be patient. I thought, sisters, I had made it. I think I told you, didn't I? In Moscow. How happy I was. That gang, two carloads of communist gangsters, came to rape the missionaries of charity in Moscow. 7:30 at night, the sisters either did not hear the noise or figured, well, it's not time to get up, so they stayed in their rooms. But we got up, three of us men, Daniel, John McCalp, and myself. And I saw those fellows there, leather jackets. Where are the women? Well, I was just so thrilled they were going to shoot us. But no, they didn't. You've got to have the faith. We go on. Faith tells us that the same Jesus who said, have confidence, I have overcome the world, is here on earth with that same message today. And it's overcoming the world. He promises, give us all we need to cope with the trials of this world, the light and strength we need to reach our eternal destiny in heaven. But you've got to have your sights clear. If you're looking for satisfaction, earthly satisfaction, here, forget it. But then you start enjoying life. We must note how crucially important it is for us to distinguish between divine hope and human hope. Unlike human hope, divine hope may be painful. Oh, may be painful. Even in symbolic language, anybody in his right mind knows that heaven is above, not below. 40 years I've taught comparative religion. I've written 3 books on the subject. I have 2 semester courses in Hinduism. Anytime you want Hinduism, sisters? Superior, who's the superior again? Very happy to give lectures in Hinduism. They all talk about whatever they're talking about. What do they mean by heaven? See? It's somehow above. That's the symbolism of all religions. Heaven is above, not below. We don't get to heaven by sheer gravity, all right? Sanctity is not the law of gravity. The law of sanctity is you don't fall into heaven. We have to claim that. But the secret of professing our hope in Christ's promises is to believe that Jesus is here in this valley of tears. He's here. Precisely to enable us to cope with the trials of life and not be afraid that He will leave us on our own. While giving the seminar, they called it, 3 days to the sisters in Northville. It was time for confessions and conferences with the sisters. Well, two of the young women working there had over 100 employees to take care of the retarded children. Two of them came in. They didn't want to go to confession. They just wanted to talk things over. I've never heard this before, they said. Father, you make connections. I make connections. Never heard that before. You're on the ball. I'm on the ball. And what I found is they're both Catholics, had the faith, but surrounded. You don't have to go too far, surrounded by confusion all around. Priests telling them all kinds of things. Liturgies they go to. Well, to call them circuses would be a compliment. Blasphemy. See, we've got to have the faith that Jesus Christ is on earth. This is exactly what the real presence means. It means God became man, and the incarnate now, God is now here with us to reassure us that we're not alone. During my 4.5 years of teaching at the State University, Western Michigan, I think I told you, got myself a job at the mental hospital within walking distance of the university. And honestly, when I'd go over to the state hospital Saturdays and Sundays, I cared for the patients over there. I more than once asked myself, who needs my services more? And I really thought, the students of the hospital. That's a good one. Let me finish the sentence. The students of the hospital called a state university. At least the patients at the hospital were given some care, given some tranquilizers. This is a manuscript. That's the terror in life. Then I get personal. I'm not sure how much of this I'll put into print, because I've counseled too many hearts, and the terror they have is the fear that I'm alone and I'm afraid. But Christ and the real presence has a real heart that we believe is beating with a love for us. Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament here has a living human heart. We believe that Christ knows and understands and is ready to provide for all our needs on the way to heaven. I was already ordained Of course, I believe them in your presence. Remember, I told you, the longest second in my life between pronouncing the words of consecration over the bread and my first Mass in Cleveland. And then we used to genuflect right after the consecration. Then elevate the host, place it on the paten, and then genuflect again. Between my first consecration and the genuflection took just a second. Temptation. Hark, this is crazy. This can't be. You're an intelligent man. This can't be. You're a sinner. You're a bum. And by the way, I've got some choice adjectives for this person. Well, these are to say, I wouldn't be if I had not resisted the temptation. God has been good to me. Almost cracked my knee on the marble floor in genuflecting at my first Mass. I've begun to believe there's only one crisis of the church today is the crisis of faith. And the more serious crisis is in the bishops and priests. 23 years in working for the Vatican. That's it. And is their faith in their own power as bishops and priests to change bread and wine into the living Jesus Christ? All we have to do is come to him. As he told us, come to me, all you are labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Nowhere in our faith is that more profoundly verified than our faith in the real presence. It is as if Christ in the Eucharist is saying, that is why I am here, that you may be here too. But what a difference between being here physically. All right, so my body is here. So my body is here. If I stood on a scale, I could weigh how much of my body is here. So what? We must be here, not only in body, but in spirit. My mind must tell me Jesus is here, and my will must respond accordingly. Adoration of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is to include, how this must include, our profession of hope in him who died on the cross to save us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But remember, we must come to him. We, and I've got four versions. We must come to him. 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 If our country was Catholic, and if the Catholics really believed and the real presence, sure as I'm sitting here, the psychiatric profession would go out of existence in 24 hours. We need someone to guide us. We need someone to encourage us. We need someone to love us. And if you haven't all had the experience, and by the way, I hope you will have it if you haven't yet, have it, of being rejected. Of being disappointed in the person or persons on whom you're most dependent. and don't ask for it. I'm not sure I've combined these two autobiographical experiences to you people. Never quite sure when I repeat myself. I have a lot of stories about other people, but I've got to be more careful because I don't want to obviously offend against either justice or charity. But speaking about this sinner, no problem. People think I'm vain, so what? Think I'm an idiot, so what? I was called in by the novice master. I think I've told you this one. You know what's wrong with you? Remember? I think everybody has failings. I must have some too. He said, look, you're the accuser, Father. What's wrong with me? You are an intellectual bully. I know I was intelligent. Of course I was intelligent. I did not think I was an intellectual bully. 30 days to cultivate humility. I'll ask your fellow novices if there's any slight growth in humility. If there is, come back in 30 days. They tell me there's some improvement, you stay. No improvement? And big act of charity. I will pay your transportation back to Cleveland. I said, thanks. I've been working on my humility ever since. But since it was my speech that caused my fellow loving novices to think I was an intellectual bully, I think there's only one solution. I better stop talking. Not entirely, but see as little as possible. 3 months later, in the meantime, by the way, I passed the test. There was some slight improvement. I talked less. 3 months later, the provincial came for his annual visitation. And as soon as I walked in, I had, first time I met the provincial, manifestation of conscience is called. I began to unburden my soul. I didn't get very far. He begins to bawl me out. He said, look, Hugh, will you start talking to your fellow novices? Oh, no. I'm told you're like an iceberg in the community. You're not communicating. If you want to stay in the society of Jesus, you better start communicating. Well, having been on the stage before I entered the Jesuits, I could put on tears when necessary, and I could, well, control tears when necessary. I control myself. I knelt down for his blessing. Oh, the feelings I had. I ran to the chapel and told our Lord, Lord, you can't win. I talk, I'm an intellectual bully. I control my speech and I'm an iceberg. And ever since, and I mean this, I've said this I'm sure before, the happiest time in my life, I say this with complete, total sincerity, is the time I spend before the Blessed Sacrament. The happiest time in my life, the nearest thing to heaven for me. If we didn't have these conferences before the Blessed Sacrament, I wouldn't be here. Now, we go on. Blessings of professing our hope in the real presence. What kind of blessings can we expect? The blessings we may expect are the blessings that the lives of all the great devotees of the Holy Eucharist prove. Not only does our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament give us the courage to cope with our natural fears. And we've got them. We're all naturally scared. That's why I'm told that babies shortly after birth began to cry. But Christ in the Blessed Sacrament also gives us the ability to undertake great things for the sake of His name. We're not scared to undertake things that accept or trust in Him, be out of our minds. And the same Christ in the Blessed Sacrament gives us the power to undergo great trials in our loyalty to His cause. Ah, I wrote this not too long ago. It took me 40 years to get the idea